Luchini pouring from the sky, let's get rich. What? The Jiki Vines and Sugar Dimes, can't quit. What? Now pop the cork and see the Vega and get lit. What? 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 Introducing.
So we're going to start with, originally I'd wanted to start with having on Cousin D to discuss the joke that is the Dallas Cowboys. But after speaking with some close colleagues, I decided that, you know what, average teams don't deserve, they don't deserve the time that we're going to give them. So I'll just say this. Tony Romo, every time I try to leave, you pull me back in. I didn't think you were going to, if you asked me at the beginning of the year, if the Cowboys and Redskins had a winner, if Cowboys as anyone had a winner take all to get in the playoffs, would the Cowboys win? I would have said no 100 times out of 100. But somehow, I let you fool me into believing that y'all had a shot. It's like Stephen A. said, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. The Cowboys never let me down. And you know something? This time, you didn't let me down. Screw you. Thank you. God bless you. Good night. Good riddance. All right, moving on to teams that are in the playoffs. Midtown Mo.
Yes.
Welcome. What teams bandwagon are you jumping on this year?
Happy New Year. We had this discussion the other day.
I forgot. I literally forgot. That's all.
And I had the Seattle Seahawks in the NFC. And I had, I believe I had the Denver Broncos in the AFC. And after I said that, I said, do you remember when we had the March Madness bracket where 12 of us picked the bracket, and I forget who we picked in the finals.
Oh, I remember. It was myself, Josen.
What teams were?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm setting up. It was myself, Josen, Landon, and yourself, and we had Florida State versus Missouri for the national championship.
And you said, say that out loud three times and see if that makes sense. It didn't sound right. And when I say Denver, Seattle out loud three times, it doesn't sound right either. So I said, that's who I'm going to be rooting for, with my dark horse being Minnesota. But I can perfectly and logically see New England, San Francisco.
All right. Dr. J, now we know you have a dog in a fight. So I don't know if asking for objectivity. I understand if you're not objective because you have a dog in a fight, but who are you rocking out with? Who are you rocking out with in these playoffs?
I'd like to see the Niners and the Patriots in the Super Bowl. I think there's a good chance that happens. Just a quick 10 seconds. I don't think Matty Ice can win, which means that practically if the Niners win the first game, they have home field advantage. As long as we don't have to go to Seattle, then I think we're fine. And I don't think we'll have to go to Seattle because I do think that RG3 and the Redskins will beat the Seahawks on, Sunday. When is it? So I want to see the Niners pass, and I actually do see the path to seeing the Niners pass. And I see more of a path this year than I did last year, which is amazing to me. But we'll see. I have no comments on the kicker situation. Please don't ask.
Oh, come on. That was my next question.
I don't know. And I'm tired of doing this ball. If you take my right, I literally do not know. I don't know what the Oilers are doing this offseason. I don't know what the Lakers are doing.
Jay, your connection sounds a little fuzzy, so we'll come back to you. Or if you, I don't know if you can fix it. But while you fix it, I'll just fill everyone who doesn't know. The San Francisco 49ers that were taping us on Wednesday have signed Billy Cundiff to challenge their current kicker, David Akers, heading into the playoffs. And I just find it very weird that a coach with the last name Harbaugh would sign a kicker named Cundiff for the playoffs after the events of last year. Ness, who hasn't been on the show in a while. Ness.
My bad. I was on mute.
That's okay. We appreciate that. Now that your Chiefs have no coach and they clearly aren't in the playoffs, who are you rocking with?
AFC, it's either, you know, it's tough to pick because there's so many teams I feel could make it into the Super Bowl in the AFC. And in the NFC, there's a lot of teams in the playoffs right now that could potentially get into the Super Bowl. I would probably say you got Baltimore, Denver, New England that are potential Super Bowl teams over on the AFC. And then you have the NFC where it's San Francisco, ATL, and also Green Bay that I think – excuse me, Seattle that could possibly get to the Super Bowl. But I like what Mo said earlier about Seattle, Denver. It makes a lot of sense. But then, like, when he said that whole say it out loud three times and see if it makes sense, I was on mute and it didn't work. It didn't work at all, man. And I guess I'm going to have to go with New England and Seattle. I would probably say New England and Seattle. I really feel like Seattle can pull this thing off. But then again, you know, you got that whole RG3 and big games thing. But I think Seattle can pull it off. I think Seattle can pull it off and get to the Super Bowl.
I'm trying to understand. And I think we have both Mo and Jackson still on the line. We've been talking for a little under 8 minutes. And only one of you has mentioned the names Houston or Atlanta.
I don't believe in either one of those teams.
Now, Houston's giving you more of a reason because these dudes were the one seed all year and wet the bed, and now they're the 3-3 seed, which is a joke, but whatever.
I'm more confident that Houston can get a win than I am and Atlanta can get a win.
Why is that?
I'm the other way around, but...
I just don't believe in the cesspool that's Atlanta whatsoever. No confidence in this. Zero.
You know what's funny? I think whoever Atlanta plays that first game, they're gonna beat them like they owe them money.
That's what I'm saying.
No. Atlanta's gonna beat that team like they owe them money.
I'm going the other way with that.
Because the funny thing is, two weeks ago, everybody swore the Giants were gonna walk into Atlanta and win. And they got destroyed 34-0. It's like and it's funny because Mo's favorite basketball team has a basketball player that no one thought he could win it all until he did. Now I'm not saying Atlanta's going to the Super Bowl.
Who would Atlanta face conceivably or hypothetically?
Hypothetically, well the winner of Seattle or Washington unless Minnesota wins.
I can see any of those teams seeing Atlanta.
I'll go to the rest of y'all next.
Well, they lost their best defensive player.
Okay.
In John Abraham. And Roddy White's not 100% with his knee. And Julio gets injured every other game with his ankle. So they're getting injured at the wrong time of the year.
I will say,
in addition to the fact, I just don't think they have the mental toughness.
Oh, there goes that word.
You can't see Seattle. Marshawn Lynch running all over these dudes? I can.
Seattle also isn't very good on the road, but it's neither here nor there. I'm not an Atlanta apologist. You know that
stopping the run. And all the three teams that could conceivably or hypothetically go there all have pretty good to great running backs.
I'm not an Atlanta apologist. I don't believe in I believe in the cesspool I believe in them that they're the cesspool, but I'm just saying, these teams are disrespectful. But we'll see. Jackson, you there?
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
All right, I just want to say one thing and one thing only. In the email thread, I said that there's probably only one team in the NFC that I think can Atlanta can beat in the playoffs. That team was the New York Giants. Then they just demolished the New York Giants in their porous defensive backfield. Remember to remind Ali that I said that.
We will.
I think Atlanta can compete. I don't actually think the problem is their defense against the run. I think they're flawed because they make themselves one-dimensional, and they really can't use Michael Turner. And that's really what it comes down to. I don't have much else to say. You just know they're going to pass the ball a lot, and that kind of just makes you one-dimensional. If you run into a team that, like Seattle, they have great defensive backs. A team like, they won't play the Packers. I mean, if they play the Vikings, they'll just pass rush and just defend the pass. I mean, they're just one-dimensional. And then Mike Smith, he always makes bad play calls. I think Atlanta's thing is not the defense. It's the fact that Mike Smith is an idiot.
Oh, man. Ness, let me ask you this. If you had to pick a dark horse team, to win the whole thing, who would you rock with? Okay, actually, let me rephrase that question. If you have to pick a team that's playing this weekend to win the whole thing, who would you go with? And just to remind everybody, those teams are Seattle, Washington, Baltimore, Indianapolis, Cincinnati at Houston, and and Minnesota at Green Bay.
Gosh, out of the teams playing this weekend, gosh, I'm probably gonna say Baltimore, but that's very, very close to Green Bay in my head. But the only thing, I just don't have faith in Green Bay's defense.
Mo, same question.
Yeah, I was hoping he wasn't gonna say Baltimore because I was actually gonna pick Baltimore.
Woo!
For the simple fact is you cannot quantify the impact of this being Ray Lewis's last season and how hard these guys are going to play for him. And can they beat Indy? You certainly can. Andrew Luck is guaranteed going to throw two picks in that game. Ed Reed, the ball hawk, get one of them. But you cannot. With Ray Lewis announcing this is his last season, I think these guys are going to leave it all on the field. And as a result, can certainly see them going to the Super Bowl, and I they can win it.
Jackson. It's radio. You have to talk.
I don't know.
So do you have like all day to think about this? When I say all day, I mean the last 90 seconds.
I mean, my dark horse is Seattle. That's what.
Okay.
Has momentum on their side too.
I would say Washington if it was a 100% healthy RG3. I'm sticking.
So they're all right. So moving on to this whole issue with Ray Lewis as Mo brought up a second ago. Ray Lewis announced his retirement. He said today that this is his last ride with the Ravens, implying that he will be done after this year. Now, in the past, Ray Lewis has said that when his son, Ray Lewis III, was a freshman started playing football in college, he would be on the sidelines for every game. Ray Lewis III will be a running back at the University of Miami this upcoming fall. So we all know how good Ray Lewis is. So I'll ask this. Mo, what percent chance do you think Ray Lewis pulls a Brett Favre and plays next year?
I hate Brett Favre. I think he has too much respect for the game to ever act like Brett Favre.
Fair enough.
He's so old, man. That's, you know, I don't see him coming back. I think if he announced it, and especially if they go to the Super Bowl and maybe win it, that's it. I think maybe if they get like blown out against Indy, you never want to go out like that. But if they win a game and then they have to go up against, I guess they would go to New England.
No, they'll go to Denver unless Cincinnati pulls off the upset.
Yeah, you go to Denver, you lose to Peyton. There's no shame in that. I think he'll be okay. I think, and then you'll have the classic Peyton and Ray Lewis meet at the Mayfield 50-yard. They'll meet at the 50-yard line, and Peyton will pat him on his head, and they'll have a, you know, that's how the story's going to be written. He's going to go out like that.
Jay. I keep it short.
I think he's coming back. I think he said he was retiring to motivate his team to play hard. But Ray Lewis retiring, people retire because they're tired of going through training camp, and there is no lack of endurance in Ray Lewis. So you bring back Suggs, McClain, and Reed all healthy, and those three can convince him to come back in next season and play. So that's what I think. But whatever, we'll see.
Yes.
I think it depends on how well they play. I mean, if the same thing happens to them that happened last year, where they were pretty much this close within making it to the Super Bowl, then he's coming back just off the fact of, you know, being that close. I feel like it's harder to give up when you're looking just right from the outside of the Super Bowl. Same thing that happened with Brett Favre. You know, he came back one last year after he almost made it to the Super Bowl, and I think the same thing will happen to Ray Lewis if they come close. But if they get blown out by Indy, then I definitely feel like he's retiring, because it's like, all right, well, this team doesn't even have a chance like that. So let me just gracefully bow out.
Ness, I know why I said, ooh, come watch the Sugar Bowl too. This dude just got depleted. Woohoo!
But oh, man, and that's because the last. Did you see what happened to the? Let me not even get into this.
All right, so let me actually. What something that Mo said actually made me think of something. So I'm going to have an unrealistic fan moment here just now. Here's why the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl. And that's pass interference. And they're not going to call it. Here's why the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl. And like I said, this is my unrealistic fan moment. Because they threw the flag. It all lines up. And here's why. Round one. Baltimore plays Indianapolis. Where did the Colts used to play?
Baltimore.
I think they beat Indy.
Okay. Boom. Baltimore does not want to lose to Indy. Especially, I'm not necessarily the Ravens, but the city of Baltimore does not want to lose to Indy at all. So they beat Indy. If everything holds, they go to Denver. Peyton Manning, Ray Lewis has never beat Peyton Manning. Never. Wouldn't it be fitting in his last shot, he finally beats Peyton Manning?
It'd be more fitting that he loses to Peyton and then they hug at the 50-yard line.
I think it would be fitting in their last game he played him, he finally beats Peyton Manning. So he beats Peyton Manning. And then he goes to New England. And we all know what happened last year. The Ravens believe they could beat them. Lee Evans and Billy Cunliffe are nowhere to be found. And they go back to the site of what is arguably the most heartbreaking loss in team history. And they overcome it and get to the Super Bowl. And I don't care who they play in the NFC. They go kiss my – I hope it's Seattle so we can mop them. Actually, no, hold B. They'll play against the Redskins, and they'll clean up the mess that we started a couple weeks ago. How about that?
You're forgetting one important little note about your unrealistic hypothetical situation.
Shoot.
That Joe Flacco is your quarterback.
Hey. I've seen Joe Flacco throw the game-winning pass in the AFC Championship game. Only for Lee Evans to drop it.
I think you lose.
Listen,
I think you lose against Denver.
If Mark Sanchez can get all the credit in the world for going to two AFC Championship games, and so can Joe Flacco because he's done the same thing. But like I said, that's my unrealistic moment, and that's my unrealistic fan moment, and that's that. And I'm saying it's unrealistic. I'm just saying it would be nice, but it's unrealistic.
You want to know what's really weird, though, is as I'm thinking about it, if the Ravens can manage to stay outside and they have horrible weather conditions, it might work in their favor because, you know, the defense is going to win a game in inclement weather, and that's exactly what you need in Denver, and it snows a lot in Denver. And then you can use Ray Rice, and you can just keep running the ball and keep the clock running. Like, I think as long as the Ravens keep the clock running, they got a good chance to beat anybody, and it's not about Flacco anymore. But that's just what I'm thinking. I don't know.
That's actually not a bad point, man. Like,
let me offer up a board bet.
I'm gonna warn you, don't offer me a board bet. Like, remember, I said this was an unrealistic fan moment. I'm willing to listen to this board bet.
Trying to find the right number. Regardless of games in these 2013 playoffs, so you get as many games as you think the Ravens are going to win. Okay. Ray Rice will not have more than X amount of touches. And now I'm just trying to figure out what that X is.
Regardless of how many games they're playing?
Regardless of how many games.
So total touches throughout his playoff career.
One and done, you probably lose. I'm thinking 55. I'm liking that number.
See, I can't see. I would take an average. I'd rather take an average before I took a total.
I think 50 is more ballsy, but
55 basically guarantees that they beat.
I'm counting on them not giving Ray Rice the damn ball because they never do.
Not no more.
Probably have to get to three playoff games to really.
But see, touches is carries and receptions.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I'm giving you that. Yeah.
All right.
55.
But see, the thing is, Ray Rice does not, but that's a lot. That's a lot.
He's not
Adrian Peterson. You're not giving the ball 37 times.
But you have at least four games to get it.
But am I getting to four games?
Yeah, that's kind of
like the only time you've heard me say that the Ravens could win the Super Bowl is in my unrealistic rant a few minutes ago.
Listen, is it on the board or not? Let's not.
It's not on the board.
Nah.
All right, now I'm willing to put this on the board. You get RG3 will not win Rookie of the Year.
I think there's too much hype right now around Russell Wilson entering as a dark horse.
Of course, the RG3 comes on right now.
I think RG3 gets it.
I don't think he gets it. Yeah. I don't even know. I think my mind tells me they're going to give it to Luck, but Russell Wilson has been getting a lot of pub lately.
Now they're not giving it to Luck because of he hasn't done it in style as much as RG3 has. I think RG3 wins it just because of the consistency throughout the season, and then that Russell Wilson got hot the last 4 or 5 weeks. I don't think that overthrows everything that RG3's done since the first game.
I would say Andrew Luck's going to win it, and I'll put that on the board.
If Andrew Luck wins it, it's going to be like the OJ verdict.
My Ray Rice board bet is actually a fun bet.
Okay, listen. I have Andrew Luck versus the field. And no one wants to take that bet.
That's not a fun.
I mean, hold on. Let me say something.
Say something, son.
I think that this is like college football in the Heisman. I mean, honestly, they're going to let this week of games play through. And if RG3 beats Russell and Andrew can't muster it against the Ravens, then RG3 wins. If Andrew Luck is the one who wins and then Russell beats RG3, then I think Russell wins.
You do know this is a regular season award, right?
Yeah, I do, but I know that even still, those things matter. Like, they look at that type of stuff and they factor that. What I will say is this.
No. But they vote before the playoffs start.
All right, well, then I think RG3 wins it. But let me say one thing about Andrew Luck. This will be when white people bring up the system. Andrew Luck plays in a different system than RG3, and he has a lot more pass attempts than RG3. That's why he has more interceptions than RG3. He also doesn't have a great running game like RG3 has. So there's a good argument to be like, Andrew Luck, in terms of his percentage for his team's wins, plays a bigger part than what RG3 did. There's an argument for that.
I'm 100% with you on that, Jax. I definitely, all year I've said that Luck is asked to do 10 times more than RG3 is asked to do. If you look at the attempts, I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry about that. But if you look at the attempts just each game throughout the year, I think Luck's had four games where he's only thrown less than 30 times. And RG3's had four games total where he's thrown for 30 or more at the pass attempts, period. And, like, I think Luck has, like, games where he's thrown, like, 55 times and all types of reads that he has to make. And just from the offensive sets that they use in Washington, it's typically only about two receivers on the field at a time in that spread option. So not too much that he really has to do as far as progressions when he actually has to throw the ball in Washington as well.
How about this? I guarantee that Russell Wilson finishes third.
No fun in that.
Oh, come on. Yeah,
won't take your old team's board bet. I'm not giving
you. Just because you're making a stupid board bet where the odds are stacked against me. And but I'm giving Besson in your favor.
Can you imagine Ness and Jackson Strathbait rooting on Ray Rice getting the ball? Three straight games.
The number one reason why I don't want to take this bet is because he has to play two games. And in the NFL, anything is possible. And if he doesn't play two games, I lose.
Well, that's a board bet.
That's a silly bet. That's a silly bet for me to take.
All right. I'll leave it alone.
Thank you. All right. Moving on. I'm saying it's going to be Luck. Mo says it's going to be Griffin. Jackson says
I think it's going to be Luck.
Oh, he thinks it's going to be Luck. Jackson thinks it's going to be Griffin, and so three of only the DC native thinks that the third incarnation of Robert Griffin will win Rookie of the Year.
No, I said RG3 as well.
Oh, you did too. So, okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't be mad if Andrew Luck got it because it would definitely be easy to defend that.
All right, last question before we wrap this up, and I'll start with Jackson because I know this answer is going to be funny. Of all the coaches that got fired, who deserves it the most and who deserves it the least?
Lovie Smith is the person who deserves it the least. I think you might have another Tampa Bay situation on your hand where a coach comes in there and takes the guy's players and wins the Super Bowl. I think it was pretty – outside of Romeo, I think Romeo just never had the right cards. I think everything else is pretty fair. I think Andy Reid and Ken Wisenhunt, that's a tie for me because they're both very stubborn coaches who have blatant flaws that they just didn't address over the course of time.
One guy who deserved it a lot.
So, Andy Reid should have been gone years ago. I mean, he should have been gone years ago.
Y'all got it.
Norv Turner deserved it the most.
Now, you were talking about someone who should have fired years ago. Norv should have been gone.
That's the guy that I was sitting there waiting. I'm like, when are they going to fire this guy? When are they going to fire? They should have fired him 2 years ago and possibly... Oh man, they should have fired that guy so long ago. I hate Norv Turner. I can't stand him.
You know why they didn't fire him? It's because when they fired Marty Schottenheimer, they got so much shit about that. Because it was like the dude's winning, He's getting to the playoffs. He's just not winning. He's not winning in the playoffs. He's doing okay. And North Turner came in there, and it was like 9-7, 10-6, just enough. And if they'd have fired him after what happened with Marty, I just never saw that happening. I was like, yo, that Marty thing was crazy. Norm would be safe. But yeah, I mean, he deserved to go. I mean,
Ness, who deserved this at least?
I got a dog in the fight, so I'm gonna say Romeo.
You think he deserves it the least?
Yeah, I honestly feel like, you know, it was a tough situation for him, but they didn't really give him a defensive, like he didn't really have a defensive coordinator once he was named head coach, so the help on that side of the ball was really difficult, and that's the only area that I can really complain about with their fallouts on defense.
Dude, they have five Pro Bowlers.
Exactly.
First of all, they have more Pro Bowls on defense than wins.
I'm hoping Lovie Smith comes through and, you know, he does his thing. Hear more Andy Reid. I'll gladly take either one of those guys. But what I'm more concerned with is that number one draft pick that we got sitting on the table and making sure that we make the best out of that. I want him to draft three quarterbacks.
Mo, who deserved it the most?
Well, listen, it's well known I don't like Andy Reid, but to say that Andy Reid deserved it more than Pat Shurmur or Chan Gailey or Romeo Cannell or Norv Turner or Ken Whisenhunt is ridiculous. Pat Shurmur, and I adopted the Cleveland Browns this year. He's a terrible coach. He's awful. Chan Gailey, he's an awful coach. Romeo Cannell, he's not a good coach. So these three guys collectively, you can't rank Andy Reid ahead of any of those guys. So who deserved it the most out of those guys? I'm probably gonna say Romeo Crennel. I'm probably gonna say Romeo because Cleveland Browns are a young team. Bills just, I don't know. It's between Romeo Crennel and Chan Gailey.
For me, the guy that deserved the most. Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say who deserved it the least.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Who deserved it the least?
I do think Lovie Smith should have been fired. Let me go on record and say that. Get out of there. But if you list the names, I think he's just lowest in the ranking because the other coaches are so bad that he's at the bottom. And I just want to make one additional point about this whole Lovie Smith. When Lovie Smith got fired, there was this roar from the Chicago Bears players, and everyone was reporting on it. And ESPN was like, oh, Devin Hester is about to retire. Excuse me for Devin Hester wanting to retire. All the world is going to end if Devin Hester – you know what? Devin Hester, retire. No one cares about you. You're not a good – you can't even make a team – as a wide receiver, like, you're terrible. So go ahead and retire. No one cares. I can't stand when ESPN does that. Interview some bum of a player. I don't care how many touchdowns he has as a punt returner, which he's now basically ineffective because they're canceling out punts and kickoffs. But don't get me started about Devin Hester threatening to retire. Go ahead and retire.
Wow, that Florida chicken's fluffy. Yeah, all right. I don't know who's going to – the least I'm going to say is Romeo Crennel. I don't know. He deserved the most because when you have more Pro Bowlers than wins, when you have a team – now, granted, the whole Javon Belcher thing was terrible. But, I mean, it's not like they were, you know, 10-0 before it happened. When your team has more Pro Bowlers than wins, when your team rushes for 350 yards of the game and loses – and the only reason you got the job is because you beat Green Bay. You beat Green Bay one good game, and now you got the job. Romeo, class act, good guy, goodbye. So I think he deserved it the most.
He was always late to practice. He ran passive practices.
Romeo is a good coordinator. He's not a coach. Now, who deserves it the most? No, that's who deserves it the least. I have a 1 and a 1A. The guy I think deserves it the least is Andy Reid. And Philadelphia will rue the day they fired Andy Reid. Because when they're stuck in 6-10, 5-11, 7-9 hell for the next 4 years, they're going to wonder, you know something? Rolling out of bed to 8 wins a year wasn't that terrible. Because that's what you got for Andy Reid. And there's something that should tell you that as soon as they fired him, teams are lining up to hire that guy.
But what if Philadelphia hires Shanahan?
Well, Shanahan's not available.
I mean,
need a change.
Change some players. How about that?
Need a change in Philadelphia.
Yeah, change some players. Get some good. Go and get some damn players.
Doesn't run the damn ball. He's stubborn. Doesn't change his offense for anything. Hires
Kyle Shanahan,
defensive coordinators. Hires inept defensive coordinators. Your defense is terrible. And you hang your you can't. I mean, it comes down to Andy Reid might himself be a great coach, but if you're hiring personnel that's not getting the job done, guess what? You are the guy that has to take the fall.
Well, listen, when that I'm just wondering to see who they can bring in that's better than him. We'll see. Well, now, the guy who I think deserves – now, the guy that's my 1A, but if a caveat, is Wisenhunt, and here's why. If Wisenhunt did not sign off, get stuck with these quarterbacks, if he was voted down, it's like, no, you're getting Kevin Cobb, you're getting Ryan Lindley, you're getting Red Skelton, then he shouldn't be because he couldn't win with those guys. But if he had saying that, he's like, yeah, I think let's go after these guys, then he has to go. Because the way he played – musical chairs of quarterbacks, inexcusable. Inexcusable. Inexcusable.
Which head coaching position would you want?
I would take either the Arizona job or the San Diego job.
You wouldn't take Chicago?
I don't trust Jay Cutler. The Chicago defense is old. When they weren't getting 5 picks a game, they certainly weren't good anymore. Arizona's defense is their front seven is among the best in the league. I have arguably the best wide receiver in the game. Offensive line's a little shaky, but you can fix that. Or San Diego, I mean, Grandison, Phil Rivers is in, but I mean,
the problem I have with the Chicago job, and they were arguing about this, of course, on First Take, where they scream at each other. Was that they were like, well, if Jay Cutler didn't get injured last year, then the Bears make a run. If Jay Cutler didn't get injured this year, then the Bears. At some point, you got to ask yourself, is my playoffs hope only on Jay Cutler? You got to go.
This is a quarterback-driven league, and there's only one team I know that could change the quarterback midseason and just keep on trucking. Well, and those are the 49ers in San Francisco.
Jay Cutler gets hurt every season. Okay.
He got hurt twice.
And most teams are on their quarterback too, man. And I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
I'd
argue he wasn't really that hurt last year.
Well, you don't know that. So
anyway, I would not take the Philadelphia job. Philadelphia press and fans are absolutely crazy and unrealistic.
Kansas City.
I wouldn't take the Bears.
City job is not that bad of a job.
That bad, but I don't really want to live in Kansas City.
All right, well, Mo, now you're I'm not talking about where you want to live.
I'm probably going to take the Arizona job because I feel like you got an owner that really cares. I don't want to have to deal with Phillip Rivers and his nonsense in San Diego, but I guess that's better than dealing with John Skeleton in Arizona. But Arizona got a strong defense there. You just need to get the offense together.
Need a quarterback.
I'll tell you guys what I think. I mean, I think those are good choices. Just to add a note, Kim Wisenhunt, we had one other issue, and that was that he had an institutional problem of dropping professionalism into his team. And that's one thing that gets you a ticket out of there. You can't have players completely give up, spitting in one another's face, fighting in practice, unmotivated, more interested in the training than being on the field. Those are situations where you need a coach that's going to enforce professionalism. that's one of the reasons why I think the Arizona job is very unattractive, because you have a lot of good players there, but you have behavioral issues that don't get solved by just bringing in a coach. You can't stop Dockett from spitting in someone's face.
He actually did spit in his face.
Okay, but you can't stop some of those issues. Some of those issues are pure professionalism issues where you got to make some roster changes that not everyone is going to like. So you don't really know what that team is going to be like. But you do have Kansas City, which has a decent defense, has a good wide receiver that's probably leaving, a running back, a decent offensive line, because they've had tons of good picks. There's a team there that I think you can build, and you can just plug in a quarterback, and you can go out there and win, and you can compete in a division that's not as competitive as the NFC. I mean, right now, the Arizona Cardinals are not even as good as the St. Louis Rams, and they won't be as long as the NFC West stays the way it is. Why would you go into that situation? Like, I would just stay away from the NFC West. I would be like, you know what? It used to suck, but right now, I don't want my job riding on the fact that I have to play Seattle twice, the 49ers twice, that four tough games every year.
The irony of that statement, especially coming from you, is that you would have said the same thing to John Harbaugh at the 49ers 2 years ago.
Jim?
Yes. You would have said, why would we take the Niners job? You got to deal with St. Louis is on the come up. Arizona still da-da-da-da-da. Saints, like, you would say the same thing. Like, I can, like, and now 2 years later, San Fran runs the West. And so,
hold on.
And this year, Pete Carroll says, like, if you're good enough, it doesn't matter.
No, but Sean, two years ago, Seattle won the NFC West in 79. That was a gold mine. Oh, I'm coming to a division where all the Eagles went seven games instead of the playoffs? Sure.
Nobody wants the Buffalo job.
And no one wants the Buffalo job. All right, we got to get out of here. So I want to say thank you guys for being on the show. Next week we're going to talk about where Sanchez is going to end up.
Do we want to take 3 minutes to just talk about Penn State real quick?
Not really, only because, because Jackson knows the most about it, but his connection isn't the best. So, we could definitely touch on that at a later date, but, so I do want to thank Dr. J-Jack, Midtown Mo, and my man Ness for joining me on the show today. I am William H. Draft, and this is it. And Jackson, we have got